The views and opinions expressed here are those of the guests, and are not the official position of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
We believe in God, the Eternal Father.
We believe in the Bible to be the Word of God.
We believe in being honest, true, chaste, benevolent, virtuous.
We believe that through the atonement of Christ, all mankind.
We also believe the Book of Mormon to be the Word of God.
We may say that we follow the admonition of Paul. We believe all things. We hope all things. We have endured many things.
The Mormon Channel now presents Why I Believe.
Welcome to Why I Believe on the Mormon Channel. On this program, we talk with members about experiences in their lives that have led to the mighty change of heart spoken of in the Scriptures. I'm Rick Starr, and today our guest is President Stephen Glendy, along with his wife, who is the mission president of the Louisville, Kentucky Mission. Welcome today to the program of Why I Believe. President Glendy, it's good to have you here with us.
Well, thank you very much. It's good to be with you.
Now, President, how long have you been on your mission there in Louisville, Kentucky?
We're starting our second year. We arrived here on June 28, 2008.
Now, the reason we're talking today is because you have started a unique program of firesides that you hold for new converts. And that's what we'd like to talk about today. Why don't you describe what this program is that you have and how it started and a little bit more about it?
Well, I'd be happy to. First of all, I have to say that I can't take credit for it. The program was when we arrived.
Mm-hmm.
I mentioned that we arrived on June 28, 2008. That was a Saturday night. And the former mission president and his wife had made an agreement with us prior to us coming that the traditional fireside, which was always held on the last Sunday of the month, would be held on that day. So we arrived on a Saturday night, and we knew that on Sunday the next day we would be having a fireside in our mission home. We had arrived, and the former mission president's wife had arranged for refreshments for about 35 to 40 people. She said that was a typical attendance. But we needed to go to the grocery store to buy a few things for ourselves, and so we thought, well, let's get some extra refreshments just in case.
Mm-hmm.
Good thing, because when the fireside happened that night, we had 76 people, not the typical 35 to 40.
They're all there to welcome you to your new mission.
Yes, the curiosity of a new mission president. So we have a wonderful mission home here. It's a very large mission home, and it lends itself well to this kind of activity. A large living room, a dining room area, and a large foyer. And so we can have 76 people in that dining room, living room, foyer area, and they fit. We have a lot of folding chairs we bring in, and it was fine. There's a beautiful grand piano, and so we can sing together. We can have performances. And that night we had a very nice fireside as I introduced myself and got to meet some of the other people there. Off the dining room, we have a nice patio, so in warm weather, we can go out on the patio after the fireside and have refreshments. So the mission home is in an easy-to-find location on a corner of two major streets. So everything is just excellent for having these firesides here.
Now, have they become kind of a tradition for new converts to come to the fireside?
The format is this fireside is for recent converts. That means people who have been a member of the church for less than 1 year,
mm-hmm.
or for investigators and their missionaries. The missionaries can't come unless they bring an investigator or a recent convert.
Hmm.
We also have a few other people come who are members of the church who have been in the church for a longer period of time because they may be providing rides to investigators or to recent converts.
Mm-hmm.
So in a typical fireside, we will have 10 to 12 recent converts, 10 to 12 investigators, and maybe another dozen or so people have been in church for longer than a year, and then several missionaries. We have a number of Spanish-speaking people, a number of missionaries who speak Spanish in our mission. And so we started these firesides with translation going on. We'd have a missionary sitting at one end of the room, and we'd have wireless headsets, and so the missionary could translate as the fireside was happening.
Mm-hmm.
This worked pretty well, but on May 31st, 2009, we had an interesting phenomenon. Elder and Sister Ty Benham came from Salt Lake and put on a fireside for us.
Mm-hmm.
It was a wonderful fireside, but we had 97 people there packed into our living room and dining room area. Now, that was too crowded. It was still wonderful, but after that, we decided that we would split our firesides, and we'd have an English fireside on the last Sunday of each month and a Spanish on the first Sunday of each month.
Mm.
And so that's what we've been doing.
That's great. So how many attendees do you have at the Spanish fireside?
Well, it's become a little competition between the Spanish and the English to see who can do the best.
Uh-huh.
And typically we have right around 60, 65 at each one.
Well, that's great.
And so they're both doing very well. And the last one we had was Spanish, and we had, I don't know whether we had 10 or 12 investigators, but we have a few people come late after we have a count, and so we don't ever know exactly. And we had about 12 investigators, 12 recent converts, and then other people who have been in the church for longer than a year, and they're missionaries. But a total of 60 people, including the speakers and mm-hmm. my wife and me.
Now, you mentioned speakers, and you've said that you've had Elder Benham and his wife out there, who incidentally are missionaries here at the church office building, and we've interviewed them on this show. Great couple. What kind of speakers do you have? I assume that you try to get other various programs and topics going.
Typically what we do is we ask a speaker to talk for 20 to 30 minutes about his or her conversion story. These are typically converts. Some mm-hmm. have been in the church for several years. Some have been in for only a few months.
And they're putting on a fireside already after a few months?
It's amazing to see them do this. We've had some college-age young people do this, and they often have an awful lot of composure and just do a very fine job.
Mm-hmm.
We had, not too long ago, a sister who had been baptized, she and her husband, and they have a family of teenagers and younger, and she just did a marvelous job, and we were just in tears and laughing and crying, and she just did such a wonderful job. And then after the speaker speaks, then it's somewhat like a testimony meeting, but a lot of the people don't really have testimonies yet, and so it's a stand up and share your experience in learning about the church. And it's interesting how many people stand up who are not yet members of the church, and while they're on their feet, they say for the first time, "And I want to be baptized." And you see their missionaries almost faint, or the big grins go across their face. But for the first time, as they are feeling the Spirit in that fireside, they announce that they're going to be baptized. And
wow.
within a few weeks, then they are.
Wow, what a great thing.
And we're getting to the point now where almost we can't stop the people from standing up. It's just like a testimony meeting, but they're just fighting to stand up one after another and just to get up.
Mm-hmm.
A couple of weeks ago, we had an interesting phenomenon. There was a little pause while I was conducting the meeting and looked around and no one was standing, so I stood up and stopped the meeting. It was the time had well passed. And after that, during the refreshment time, one of the people came up and said, "I was going to stand up." I said, "Well, come back next time." And he did.
Mm-hmm.
And that has happened at least twice, I can think of, where we've had people that were going to do it, they didn't quite get the nerve, and they came back the next time, and they did stand up and share their feelings, their testimonies.
Wow, what a great forum for new members and investigators to do that kind of thing. I assume they feel very comfortable. They're in a home, and they're among friends and people who are just learning about the gospel, just like them.
Yes, it's a beautiful home, and we have several pictures on the wall, all various artist depictions of the Savior. There's
mm-hmm.
nothing that is not a depiction of the Savior. And in that room, you can't help but feel the Spirit. So much has gone on there. You've talked about speakers. One of my counselors is a former stake president here. His name is President Gillenwater.
Mm-hmm.
He was the stake president of the New Albany, Indiana stake. And he's a convert. And he shared his story once, and it was great. Well, the next month, I realized his wife was also a convert, and we had her share her story. This is an interesting story. Sister Gillenwater was going to the university. She was an Episcopalian,
mm-hmm.
and she really wanted to become an Episcopalian priest. And she studied to join the priesthood, and the requirements, as I understand, were fairly rigorous to be accepted into the program. And she wasn't quite sure that she could be accepted, but she went through everything that she could and was called into the board of presiding authorities, and they announced to her that she had been chosen to study for the priesthood in the Episcopalian Church.
Hmm.
Well, the Episcopalians are not very common here in this area, so it was interesting that we were having her speak that night. But at the time that she began her studies for the priesthood, about the same time she had been introduced to the Book of Mormon. Well, that's sort of the end of the story, because when she started studying the church, then she realized that she was compromised and told the authorities there in the Episcopalian church that, "Thank you, but I guess I'm going to have to decline." And after she'd gone through all the efforts to join. Well, she told her story. It was a great conversion story about her joining the church. And very spiritual. But sitting right in front of her on one of the chairs in the living room was a young college student here whose name is Alex Muggy. Alex is a beautiful young woman and very intelligent, but she is Episcopalian.
Mm-hmm.
And well, what are the odds that we would have that night? Alex had been investigating the church for about 3 days, and her missionaries brought her to this fireside. And on that very first fireside, there was Sister Gillenwater, who had studied to be an Episcopalian priest, speaking. Well, after the talks, they got together and talked. It took about a day for Sister Gillenwater and Alex Muggy to become close friends, and they started going out to lunch together. And well, about 6 months later, Alex Muggy was one of our fireside speakers as a recent convert. And her baptism was beautiful. Her parents live out of state. She had them come in, and they were so delighted to see how well their daughter was being treated by the members of the church. And even though they were involved in their church, they had nothing but good to say about their daughter and about what she was doing and about the people here who were reaching out and loving Sister Muggy. So she's become a wonderful member of the church, and it was very much a result of that fireside where she met Sister Gillenwater, who would have been the perfect person to fellowship her, who otherwise she wouldn't even met. President Sister Gillenwater lived in another stake, and they probably wouldn't have ever come together. But it's just the result of that fireside.
Wow, that is just wonderful. For any of you who are just joining us, this is Why I Believe on the Mormon Channel. I'm Rick Starr, and today our guest is President Stephen Glendy, who, with his wife Stephanie, they are serving as mission president in the Louisville, Kentucky mission. And we've been talking about a special fireside that he hosts in his home every fourth Sunday of the month. And now, on the first Sunday of the month, you've also got the Spanish fireside, which is just awesome. Question for you. Talk a little bit about the area where you live, the mission, the number of missionaries you have. And I'd like to understand a little bit more about what is the predominant religion there, and how does that fit into the firesides that you're having? I'm sure a lot of questions come up that are related to the predominant religion in that area. Talk a little bit about that.
Well, our mission comprises the most populous parts of the state of Kentucky. Louisville is the major metropolitan area. Also, Lexington, the state capital. Frankfort is on our mission. Owensboro is probably the next biggest town. But most of the populated area of Kentucky is on our mission. We also include the bottom third of the state of Indiana. The major areas there are New Albany, which is really identifies with Louisville. It's just on the other side of the Ohio River, and Evansville.
Mm-hmm.
But we have a number of branches scattered through Indiana and two small branches in Illinois. Our mission, we call, is the Great Kentucky Louisville Mission, GKLM.
Mm-hmm.
Or we say GKLM also stands for Gotta Know You Love 'Em. Gotta know you love them. And we tell our missionaries they got to know that Sister Glendy and I love them. Their investigators got to know that the missionaries love them. And the members of the wards and branches got to know that we love them. And we do.
Mm-hmm.
And when we get together in these firesides, you can just feel the love. But let me tell you about the people in the area. They're wonderful people. They're friendly. We find the drivers are courteous. If you want to change lanes on the freeway, signal. They'll slow down. They'll let you into the other lane. Now, isn't that something?
Mm-hmm. It is.
We're stopped at a stop sign outside our house to get out onto the main road, and you can see there's a line of traffic coming both directions, and very frequently someone will just stop so you can get out into the road, and they'll hold up the traffic so you can get out into the road. People are friendly here. They're nice people. There are about 4 million people in the state of Kentucky. About 1 million of them are Southern Baptists. That's clearly the predominant religion.
Mm.
About 2 million don't claim any religion at all, and the last million are all a mix of the various Christian churches, Muslims, Jews. It's a very interesting mix of people. But the Southern Baptists are clearly the most predominant. They have here in Louisville the Southern Baptist Seminary, which is a beautiful campus of classic old buildings. Now, I've been fortunate to have received an invitation to speak there every 6 months to some of the classes. There's a class on world religions, and one of the professors there is someone with whom I've become a close friend, Dr. James Chancellor, who is, of course, a Southern Baptist. And they let me speak they give me an hour and a half plus 15 minutes for questions, but it normally goes to about 2 hours because they just have so many questions. It's wonderful. I share with them a little bit about myself and what brought me here, and then go through the story of the dispensations, of Christ's love, God's love for his children, the apostasy, the restoration of the priesthood, coming forth of the Book of Mormon. The professor lets me give a copy of the Book of Mormon to everybody in the class. We normally have about 60, 65 people in the equivalency of a master's degree program who are studying so they can go out and have their own congregation. their plight, their need, their pain, they're interested in learning, they're taking notes. And so we give them the story of the restoration. I'm sure they've heard about Joseph Smith, and they look a little surprised when they see whom I hope they feel is a respectable person standing in front of them, telling them with all the sincerity of his heart the story of Joseph Smith going into the woods, inquiring of the Father, and seeing the Father and the Son, and the coming forth of knowledge of our Heavenly Father in these latter days. And they don't criticize that. They listen, and then I tell them of the Book of Mormon and what it is. And then come the questions and answers. And there was one question that I thought was interesting last time I spoke with them. One young man said, "Do Southern Baptists join your church?" I said, "They do." And he said, "Why?" And I thought, "Oh, what a perfect question. Thank you." I held up the Book of Mormon, and I said, "Because Southern Baptists love the Lord Jesus Christ, and when they read this Book of Mormon and the testament that it is of Christ, they can't put it down, and they need to know, where did this come from? How is it here? What is the rest of the story?" And when they read this and they feel that testimony in their hearts of the Savior whom they already profess to love just growing stronger and stronger, they have to accept it.
Mm-hmm.
And then these young people take the Book of Mormon. And so it's a wonderful experience. We have great relationships with the Southern Baptists.
Mm. Very friendly people.
They are. Now, some of the individual members will be pretty excited about their ability to debate the Bible, and we need to be careful that we don't enter into debates, and we remind them that that's not why we're here. And we constantly are teaching our missionaries that we're here to teach and not to debate. It's not my church is better than your church.
Mm-hmm.
To teach the restoration of the gospel in these latter days, and that because of that, these people can receive the ordinances of salvation through the priesthood in the way that Jesus would have it done.
That's wonderful. Have you ever had any of those college students come to your firesides?
We have not. Okay. We've had some come to our church meetings, but we have not had any to our firesides.
Mm-hmm. For any of you who are just joining us, this is Why I Believe on the Mormon Channel, and I'm Rick Starr. Today our guest is President Stephen Glendy, who with his wife Stephanie are the mission president and mission mom of the Louisville, Kentucky Mission. And we've been talking about some great things they've been doing with firesides in their home for investigators and new members. And now they've split the fireside into both an English and a Spanish fireside, having a little bit of a competition between the two to see how many people can get out to the fireside in your home. President Glendy, I'd really like to talk about the retention question. I'd like to talk about how these firesides have helped with retention of new members as they come into the church. And there's so much to learn, terminology and principles and doctrines that they are learning just as they begin to understand more about the restored gospel. Talk about these firesides, how they've helped with the retention of members.
Well, let me just use a story. I don't have statistics per se on firesides and retentions. But one of the people that was baptized here in the last year is a woman whose name is Shauna Pratt. Shauna lives in a branch that's about an hour's drive from here. But she came to the first fireside we had, and she had a good time. And we discovered that she works at the airport. She's a security agent at the Louisville Airport. And so when we take our new missionaries or our returning missionaries there to go home or pick up our new missionaries, which is, as you'd know, every 6 weeks, mm-hmm. we often see Shauna. And so because she was coming to the firesides, we've become good friends with her because we see her at the airport, and we would invite her back to the firesides, and she's become a regular attender at these firesides. Because of her work, sometimes she's not able to attend her church on Sunday morning, depending on what her schedule there is with the security force at the airport. But she comes to the firesides. It's been interesting in talking to her to watch the gradual change in her vocabulary as she starts picking up what we accept in our meetings. For example, we're familiar with the terminology chapel.
Mm-hmm.
He was referring to it as a sanctuary. Nothing wrong with that word. But she was just listening to her talk and use some of this terminology. So she has been coming to our fireside. She has picked up a number of friends at these firesides. Some of them live in her ward, and some of them live in a ward close to where she is. And she's become good friends with Sister Glendy and me, and we always look forward to seeing her at the airport, and we always seek her out when we're there mm-hmm. picking up missionaries or delivering them to return home. So that's one example of someone who has gained some friends and an example where we can watch her terminology changing. The term fireside itself, I think, is an unfamiliar term with most people, and we will usually explain to these people how that came to be and what it is, and I think we're gradually changing our own terminology to refer to it more as devotionals. But whether it's a devotional or a fireside, we watch this terminology change. But retention, let me talk about a Spanish family that came to our fireside some time ago. Two of our missionary sisters were very straightforward and faithful and bold, and they prayed that one morning about 5 months ago that they would be able to teach a family. They brought a number of individuals in the church, but they wanted a family. So they went tracting, and they weren't having a lot of success, but a car pulled up close to the house where they're tracting, and there were six people in the car. They went and knocked on the car window. People rolled down the window, and they made an appointment to come and teach these people. That was 5 months ago. About 4 months ago, this family came to our fireside. The sisters brought them to the fireside, a mother and a father and four children. They began attending the fireside. Well, I'm going to go right to the bottom line. Last fireside, the family was there. They've come to every Spanish fireside we've had. They were there. He is now a counselor in the branch presidency of an English-speaking branch, by the way. Speaks a little English. He was dressed in his new suit and his tie, and I looked at him and said, "Brother Chavez, you look like a general authority." He beamed from ear to ear to think of that, how he looked in obviously his first suit that he'd ever had. And it's a wonderful family, and they just embrace the gospel. So this is a five-month period, and we would like to think that, and as a matter of fact, the first fireside they attended, before they were members of the church, Sister Chavez stood up and bore her testimony, and that's when she announced that she was interested in the church and gave the missionaries courage to continue in their teaching with this wonderful family. We've had other families in the last 2 months who bore their testimony before they were baptized, and now this wonderful family is in our Charlestown branch, and what a wonderful family they are, and holding callings in the branch and functioning, and they bore their testimonies at the last English fireside. It couldn't be restrained. They just had to stand up. It can't stop them when they get going.
That is really neat. For any of you who are just joining us, this is Rick Starr on the Why I Believe program on the Mormon Channel. And today our guest has been President Stephen Glendy, who is the president of the mission in Louisville, Kentucky, along with his wife, Stephanie. We've been talking about the fireside that he holds in his home for new members and investigators that he holds every fourth Sunday of the month and every first Sunday now also of the month for Spanish-speaking investigators and new members. President Glendy, just as a final question, if you could share with us, what advice would you give to other mission presidents who may be considering doing this kind of thing?
It may not be uncommon. They may be doing something similar. And I know the various missions each have various approaches to what they do, and they're having a lot of success. But any opportunity that you can have to get people together, new members and investigators, always has a tremendous effect. I know our stakes are wonderful. In our last week, we attended a state conference, and before their general session, they had an 8 o'clock session for new members and investigators, and I think most of our stakes do this, and it's a great opportunity. So just getting these people together, you just can't lose because the spirit is so strong.
That's great. President Glendy, we're just about out of time. I'd like to ask you if you wouldn't mind sharing your testimony and how your testimony has been strengthened as you've been out on your mission as a mission president.
Well, thank you very much. I don't know whether my testimony has been strengthened or rewarded, but what a magnificent strengthening or reward it is for a testimony, and particularly to see how the gospel changes lives and to see how these young missionaries are so dedicated to doing what they are doing. And I think it's great for our missionaries to come to these firesides because they see people who join the church, and it gives them the additional enthusiasm to go out and spread the gospel. But when we see our missionaries devoting their life, and when we see people changing their lives, making dramatic changes, not because of the skills of the missionaries, but because they've been touched by the Holy Ghost, we are witnesses to the prophecies regarding these latter days of the coming forth of the gospel. And we are witnesses to the way our Heavenly Father loves His children, all of them. And we are so grateful for that witness. And I share that testimony with you that our Father in Heaven does love His children. And we are witnessing fulfillment of prophecy in these latter days in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you, President Glendy. We've been speaking with President Stephen Glendy, who is the mission president in the Louisville, Kentucky mission, along with his wife, Stephanie. And we've been talking about the firesides that he's been holding in his home for new converts and investigators. President Glendy, thank you so much for being with us today.
Rick Starr, thank you.
For more information on Why I Believe and other programming on the Mormon Channel, please visit radio.lds.org. Thank you for being with us today on Why I Believe. Have a great day.
You've been listening to Why I Believe on the Mormon Channel.